I'm a Democrat, and I'm running for President of the United States. My voting history shows that I've done everything I can to support our minority groups. I want to end the war against illegal immigration, because, after all, they're citizens too. However, my opponent rejects the idea of such acceptance. He's even been seen stopping Hispanics in the street and accusing them of being illegal. From drafting legislation to give free food stamps and welfare, to personally distracting the Border Patrol for easier passage, I am truly here for the people. And yes, it's true that I voted in favor of funding for Planned Parenthood. I not only advocate, but promote a woman's right to have an abortion. In fact, last week I personally aborted an entire class of third graders. Yet your Republican nominee has been seen at abortion clinics, yelling at rape victims, telling them it was the will of God to bear their child. He has no respect for anyone who isn't also a rich white man, whereas I will give you all free health care, free food, and free abortions. Myself. He forces his religion on an entire nation, whereas I oppose religion in schools and in the home. He tries to portray a healthy marriage, but we all know that's really his sister. On November 6th, vote for a strong woman fighting for you, not an inbred Texan with a spoon-fed Harvard degree and stupid.
I'm your Democratic candidate, and I approve this message. Funded by Tampon, the American Minority Political Outreach Network.
Rob Stark. He's the biggest celebrity in the North. But his father was a traitor. He arrested his own mother. His bastard brother deserted the Night's Watch. And he couldn't defend his own castle. Worst of all, Rob Stark hasn't stopped the wildlings from invading our lands and taking our jobs. He even has an illegal alien for a nanny. And now he wants to be king in the North? King? Some people say he's really a wolf. Some people say he eats dead people. We can't wait until it's too late. Send a raven to Winterfell now and tell Rob Stark to go back home. Stop eating dead people and defend the damn wall.
This ad paid for by Crossbows GPS.
Daenerys Targaryen. She says she is the mother of dragons. But would you trust her with your kids? Her father was a maniac. She palled around with Dothraki terrorists. She asked the city of Karth for a government bailout. Then she lost three baby dragons after placing them in an unlocked wooden box. An unlocked wooden box. This Khaleesi wants to be queen of the Seven Kingdoms, but can she be trusted? Daenerys Targaryen. Wrong for dragons. Wrong for the realm.
Paid for by the Committee to Protect Dragons.
We don't know anything about him.
He was never really vetted.
Is he really the true-born son of Robert Baratheon?
All over the Seven Kingdoms, people are asking the same question. Who is the real King Joffrey? The people of Westeros are hurting. Winter is coming. Crop yields are falling, and the price of fuel is going up.
The cost of peat moss is through the thatched roof.
And this young and inexperienced king takes advice from a whoremongering imp and has launched an illegal war in the north? What is King Joffrey hiding? This is not our kind of family values. King Joffrey, what a bastard.
What a bastard.
Paid for by the Young Baratheons for Freedom.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Thursday, March the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2015. The number that you can call this evening is 646-649-0004. That's 646-649-0004. Now, please keep in mind, I am just busting with all sorts of wonderful emotions right now because I will get to the announcement promised you shortly, but hang with me. It's called Dramatic Pause, by the way. It's called keeping you listening and keeping you interested. So I'm not going to tell you right off the bat. So you're just going to have to wait and listen. But just know that next week, the number that you call in will call the show will change. However, the number that you call to listen to the show on your smart device will most likely stay the same. Now, I can't reveal any more detail than that. I need to, you know, me and technology, I do not have a computer guru sitting in my office for 8 or 10 hours a day hammering all this stuff out. So I have to figure out a lot of this stuff on my own, and sometimes it's trial and error, and I'm sure many of you who are not computer experts fully understand what I'm talking about. That's one of the things. There's going to be some testing over the weekend. To make sure that hopefully the system that I'm putting into place will work. And if it does work without a hitch, then there will be a new number for you to call in and speak to me live here on the show. We got a lot to cover this evening. And I know some people are out there, a lot of people are out there, and wondering about a number of different issues with this president. And I'm not just talking about the so-called service fringe. I'm talking about the average American citizen. I am out in the public on a daily basis. I mean, I have social accounts all over the web. And some people are calling them interwebs versus internet. I don't know what the difference is, by the way. This is just as a side note. If you know what the difference is between the internet and the interweb, I have not Googled it, but if you know what it is, please let me know. It just the thought that came to my head, because I've heard it referred to as the interweb a lot lately. I'm not exactly sure what that is. But I get all of these people asking me all kinds of questions about Obama. You know, what do I think about this, or what do I think about him doing or saying this? And partially, I understand some of their motivation behind the question, because their questions, because I'm part black, you know, just like Obama. So they want to get the take of a non-white person, especially somebody who shares the same ethnic background as Obama. They want to get my take on it. And, of course, I am more than happy to oblige. I'm more than happy to tell them my opinion. Look, hell, I'll tell you my opinion even if you don't want to hear it. Because, you know, hey, in this country, it's my right to express myself, right? You have the right not to hear me. And, indeed, many of you in the past, or many liberals in the past, have chosen not to hear me and have blocked me from their you know, Blog Talk Radio is famous for that. There are, they don't call it liberal over in Blog Talk Radio. It's progressive. We're very progressive. We're all progressive. We're not liberal. We're progressive, meaning, you know, we like to progress. Yeah, progress straight into socialism and communism. But I used to visit and listen in on a lot of progressive, that's code word for liberal, programs over on Blog Talk Radio. And even on places like Spreaker and even TalkShoe and a few other places. And if I actually entered the fray and started discussing things via, you know, their the various chat rooms that were made available, I inevitably, more than 75% of the time, would end up being blocked, meaning that I could no longer communicate or chat. So liberals, they have chosen to tune me out often. And, a very good friend of mine, and she's become a very good friend of mine, and she's my PR agent, actually, Laura. She delved into the fire more than a few times and found out that liberals know who I am. And she found out that there was some rather unpleasant remarks made about me. And she often wondered if that bothered me. And I said, absolutely not. I wear it with a badge of honor. But first of all, I'm surprised that they know me. I probably shouldn't be surprised about that, because I'm speaking the truth, both in historical fact and in logic. And liberals don't like that. They will find you. As long as I have had blogs on the internet, and I really started blogging back in, I think, 99, I have always had liberals making comments on my blogs and my pages that were pretty harsh. But I never once let it bother me, simply because I know I was right. There was no need for me to defend myself. They were trying to get personal many times with me, but I always look at it this way. I don't take it personally, because they're not really mad or angry or hateful towards, because I'm black, they think I should probably stay on the liberal plantation, so they hate me for that. But otherwise, they don't really hate me. They hate the message that I'm disseminating. Plain and simple. They hate the truth. And I've got some stories here tonight that really are going to, that's really going to illuminate that fact. We've got a lot to cover. You know, Ted Cruz has basically taken a full dump. I mean, he just jumped in head first into the global warming, and I was glad to hear it. Finally, a conservative is coming out swinging about global warming. There's also a lot about Hillary Clinton. If you haven't heard it already, you got to hear this about from supporters of Hillary Clinton. This is absolutely incredible. But I might add, I already told you what was going to happen with Hillary Clinton. I told you in this show, I told you all over the interwebs or the internet what was going to happen if Hillary Clinton became the Democratic nominee, and they've already just basically said what they're going to do. And I've told you, if you've listened to this long enough, you already know that, you know, some people think I'm kind of prophetic. I'm not prophetic at all. I just know liberals. I know how human beings think. It really, you don't need a college degree in psychology to figure that out, actually. You just have to pay attention. You just have to listen to people. And as much as, you know, I like to talk, I'm on the air here, you know, 2 hours a night. So, you know, yeah, I like to talk. But actually, I actually do more listening than I do talking. Because you learn so much when you listen. And one of the things that was brought to my attention today, actually, and it just came out of the blue, was somebody was talking to me about gun control and guns and the Second Amendment and things like that. And they reminded me of something that I said quite a few years ago. In fact, I think it was 2010, after the Gabby Giffords shooting in Arizona. Anybody remember that? It was quite, you know, amazing that they would remember that. I didn't even remember I said it. So I went and searched my own archives for this, and I found what he was talking about. And this, I'm not prophetic. This just happens to be because I pay attention. I know how liberals think and operate. I know better than they do how they think and operate. And we can see it today in Obama as he's trying to, you know, take people's guns. And I told you before, earlier this week, about how Obama is going to court about free speech and how he's taking on the Redskins organization in the NFL and basically telling them that they don't have the same rights that everybody else does because it's business speech, it's corporate speech, and that's not protected under the Constitution, or so they're arguing. And I warned you that if they succeed in this, in chopping up the Constitution there, that they're going to be coming after your guns. And this is something that sort of dovetails into that, because it's the absolute and total truth. Give a listen.
Over the weekend, the nation was shocked to hear the news about the Arizona shooting. All of us who love the Constitution were shocked and appalled, although I must admit I'm not surprised by the fallout of the shooting. It seems that the lamestream media has taken the tact of faulting the conservative movement of the Tea Party. Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh are the ones at fault for giving rise to the nut job who pulled the trigger. The sad fact is, this is not news reporting, but yet another sad attempt by the left-leaning media to put their stamp on a radical left-wing agenda. It would seem that the left and those who act as their mouthpieces will stoop to any depth of depravity to try to make their case for their failed ideas. George Will stated it best Sunday morning when he said, basically, in a nation of 308 million people, there will inevitably be those who will do unspeakable things. Now, I won't talk about the left-wing nut jobs who have done similar things in our nation's history, nor will I talk about the movies produced out of left-wing Hollywood that have depicted the assassination of our nation's leaders. One could argue that many assassinations have come about because of the movies and TV shows that Hollywood has produced, but of course, you won't hear that from the left. What happened in Arizona, as what happened to a number of our political leaders, even in modern history, is terrible at best and should never happen in a nation with our form of democracy. But we have a few among us that are extreme and even mentally unstable and don't need pundits from either side of the political aisle to do their devil's work. They will do it anyway. Now, the left to some degree, and some on the right, may now see the past weekend's events as an excuse to trample on the rights of the vast majority of law-abiding citizens. This is what is truly a tragedy: the further murder of liberty and freedom in the name of security. Remember, our founding fathers told us in so many words that those who are willing to sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither liberty nor security, and indeed will end up with neither liberty or security. I'm Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
And indeed, we will not have security or liberty. And keep in mind, this was said some time ago, and this was before, you know, we really learned, well, the general public really learned what, who and what Obama was all about. We don't, look, we're a nation of now, I've heard numbers of 320, 330 million people. We are still inevitably going to have a minority, a minute minority of nut jobs out there on both sides of the political aisle. Now, don't get me wrong, it is not just liberal nut jobs and terrorists, foreign terrorists, that want to do us harm. We have, you know, we do have homegrown terrorists. I'm not going to deny that. And I'm not talking about the ones like the Air National Guard airman and his cousin being arrested in Chicago because they wanted to fly out and to the Middle East and join Al Qaeda. I'm not talking about them, that type of terrorism. I'm talking about, you know, there was Tim McVeigh. Remember him? Oh yeah, the lamestream media had a field day with that. Had a field day. Why? Because he was right wing. He was not a conservative, by the way. He was a libertarian. And I might add, he was a nut job libertarian. And no, not all libertarians are nut jobs. Just let me, even though most of the libertarians that I have met, well, I can't say most, many of them that I have met are really extreme and fall into my category of nut jobs. Not all. Many. But then there are those that truly, they probably really aren't libertarians as libertarians view themselves. They're more constitutional conservatives, such as myself. They believe that the Constitution is the law of the land. They believe that you and I are better able to take care of ourselves than any form of government, than any level of government, be it local, state, federal. They believe that you should have the opportunity to pursue your own happiness, not be told what your happiness should be. They believe and know that the government often screws all kinds of things up, and about the only that the government has not screwed up is our military, although this current administration is doing its best to do just that. In spite of I mean, even so, where you even have Ben Affleck out there talking about the great Ben Affleck, mind you, talking about the greatness of our military. Ben Affleck admitted in an interview, and there's video and audio recordings of it, that the United States military is the best in the world. They are the best at what they do. They're the best at defending our country, any country. They're the best at training other countries to end up with an army that can protect its own citizens and own border. Ben Affleck said this. And you don't get more left nut jobbery than Ben Affleck. So even in spite of this administration's tired an obvious attempt to dismantle, unarm our military, they still are the best that there is out there. Now, look, you got to think about this and think, well, geez, if we actually had a president that actually cared about the military like Ronald Reagan and supplied them with everything that they could possibly use and need to do their job safely and come home safe and alive to us that is currently available, how much better would our military be? How much more effective would they be? And if they are that good and that effective, would anybody, including nut job terrorists, dare to stand against us? The answer is, of course, no. They would not. Would we have so much terrorism that affects Americans and our allies if we had a military and a president who could speak softly yet carry a big, freaking big damn stick? No. People, they tried to test Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan said he was not having any of it. You know, they tried to test England, too, and then the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, then the Prime Minister of Great Britain, said she was not having any of it. The two of them, together, defeated one of the greatest threats to liberty and security on this planet called the Soviet Union. And we didn't have a nuclear war to do it. Why? Because they stood firm on conservative principles and firmly believed that their people, the Americans and the British, had the right to live free with as little government intervention in their lives as possible. There was no need, none in their eyes, to have all these government programs and to overtax their population. That was detrimental to freedom in their eyes. Indeed, they were right. They did not believe government should own industry. They did not believe government should be running industry. They did not believe that government should basically run industry by fiat, by instituting and issuing tons and tons and pages and pages and pages of rules and regulations. I mean, look, we've had Obama who's issued, you know, on a single weekend some 15,000 pages of new regulations on American business. None of it went through Congress. And yet, as I've told people, well, you know, Rod, that's just regulation. No, it's not just regulation. You have to understand that a regulation is the equivalent of a law. You go afoul of a regulation or a rule, and oftentimes you are punished more harshly than if you actually broke an actual, real law. You will be fined, and you will go to jail for a regulation or a rule violation. Interesting to note that if you violate a regulation, you're called a criminal. Well, if you're a criminal, that means you committed a crime. Well, a crime is when you break a law. A crime is committed when you break a law. Break a law, you broke a regulation. Folks, you broke a law instituted without going through the constitutional process of becoming a law. And I tell you things that are going to happen in the future, and some of you still doubt me. Tisk, tisk. Announcement coming next.
Come on down to the newest pub in Texas, Rednecks. Well, our beer kegs are always full. Don't ask what brand it is, because it all tastes like warm piss. So if you're celebrating a special occasion like marrying your sister, or being named Employee of the Month at Walmart, you're going to want to come celebrate with us at Redneck's Bar and Cantina. And remember, every Friday and Saturday, we have our famous tooth contest. Whoever has the most teeth wins a pair of John Deere mud flaps and a buttery corn on the cob. There's plenty of parking space to drive your house over to Redneck's and come on in and have a hell of a time. We're located right next to Big Al's truck stop, right across the street from the KKK headquarters.
Homos and minorities, not welcome.
In a world where beer is served warm and flat, there is only one hope for beer drinkers. The Wooden Tap Bar and Grill presents Perfect Tap, an epic invention that ensures your favorite draft beer tastes better here than it does anywhere else. Critics call Perfect Tap mesmerizing. This is the way draft beer is supposed to taste. If you drink just one beer this year, make sure it comes from Perfect Tap. Now pouring exclusively at all four Wooden Tap locations. Wooden Tap! Come as you are.
Ripper the Clown may be a cartoon character come to life, but you trust him with your votes on November 4th? Ripper the Clown wants to be mayor, sheriff, comptroller, and senator of Ripper County, but in a recent debate, he admitted that he didn't even know what a comptroller was. And then he offered free gas cards and fast food gift certificates to anyone who voted for him. He also offered free autographed copies of his new award-winning zombie novel, The Life in Mimes, and Zombie Apocalypse of Ripper the Clown for those who cast votes in his favor. These are all violations of America's occasionally enforced voting laws. Do you want this inexperienced and sneaky clown with his finger on the button? Don't vote for Ripper the Clown. Paid for by people who hate Ripper the Clown. The people who hate Ripper the Clown are responsible for the content of this ad.
Let's talk about Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. What do you know? Did you know that he's a naval hero? He single-handedly fought the Battle of Trafalgar in the waiting pool at the community center, freeing us from French tyranny. Did you know that he's an adventurer? Fighting the elements, he climbed Mount Everest in the frozen food section of the local grocery store to prove that anyone can achieve their dreams. He's a humanitarian. He found another cure for smallpox when, on a rainy day, climbed his aluminum ladder to the power lines to rescue a stray sperm whale. An energy pioneer, he discovered an unyet-named natural resource when he chewed the gum from underneath all the tables at the local pizza joint. And did you know that the only salary he takes is a few pieces of string, peat moss, and the occasional crow feather? Naval hero, adventurer, humanitarian, energy pioneer, and philanthropic volunteer. That's Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. On Tuesday, remember to punch number 7 and vote for Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith for Village Idiot. He's what this city needs to feel better in the eyes of the world.
Paid for by the friends of Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith.
Power of knowledge. God ain't gonna shut.
Shows that I've done everything I can to support our minority groups. I want to end the war against illegal immigration because, after all, they're citizens too. However, my opponent rejects the idea of such acceptance. He's even been seen stopping Hispanics in the street and accusing them of being illegal. From drafting legislation to give free food stamps and welfare to personally distracting the Border Patrol for easier passage, I am truly here for the people. And yes, it's true that I voted in favor of funding for Planned Parenthood. I not only advocate, but promote a woman's right to have an abortion. In fact, last week I personally aborted an entire class of third graders. Yet your Republican nominee has been seen at abortion clinics, yelling at rape victims, telling them it was the will of God to bear their child. He has no respect for anyone who isn't also a rich white man. Whereas I will give you all free health care, free food, and free abortions. Myself. He forces his religion on an entire nation, whereas I oppose religion in school and in the home. He tries to portray a healthy marriage, but we all know that's really his sister. On November 6th, vote for a strong woman fighting for you, not an inbred Texan with a spoon-fed Harvard degree and stupid.
I'm your Democratic candidate, and I approve this message. Funded by Tampon, the American Minority Political Outreach Network.
Rob Stark. He's the biggest celebrity in the North. But his father was a traitor. He arrested his own mother. His bastard brother deserted the Night's Watch. And he couldn't defend his own castle. Worst of all, Rob Stark hasn't stopped the wildlings from invading our lands and taking our jobs. He even has an illegal alien for a nanny. And now he wants to be king in the North? King? Some people say he's really a wolf. Some people say he eats dead people. We can't wait until it's too late. Send a raven to Winterfell now and tell Robb Stark to go back home. Stop eating dead people and defend the damn wall.
This ad paid for by Crossbows GPS.
Daenerys Targaryen. She says she is the mother of dragons. But would you trust her with your kids? Her father was a maniac. She palled around with Dothraki terrorists. She asked the city of Karth for a government bailout. Then she lost three baby dragons after placing them in an unlocked wooden box. An unlocked wooden box! This Khaleesi wants to be Queen of the Seven Kingdoms, but can she be trusted? Daenerys Targaryen. Wrong for dragons. Wrong for the realm.
Paid for by the Committee to Protect Dragons.
We don't know anything about him.
He was never really vetted.
Is he really the true-born son of Robert Baratheon?
All over the Seven Kingdoms, people are asking the same question. Who is the real King Joffrey? The people of Westeros are hurting. Winter is coming. Crop yields are falling, and the price of fuel is going up.
The cost of peat moss is through the thatched roof.
And this young and inexperienced king takes advice from a whoremongering imp and has launched an illegal war in the north? What is King Joffrey hiding? This is not our kind of family values. King Joffrey, what a bastard.
What a bastard.
Paid for by the Young Baratheons for Freedom.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a non-profit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, We're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Hello, my fellow Americans. Yes, it is I, your lovable host, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust, and hopefully it never will be big government or bust. The number that you can call is 646-649-0004. That is 646-649-0004. As we march along into our number two here on the Rod Eccles Show, it is Thursday, March the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2015. And I understand that there was some technical issues again with the program in the last half hour, and that some of you may not have had the opportunity to hear the major announcement, so I will have to repeat that announcement, which is, you know, look, understand that there these technical issues that I'm having with BTR, for whatever reason, will go away next week. And the reason is because we will here at the Rod Eccles Show start syndicating. Yes, we will be in syndication. So you'll be able to hear us on other networks. And we're starting off. I can announce to you right now three networks that will be starting. And you know, there were people that have told me and those who work with me that that was not going to happen. I didn't have it. Rod, you don't have what it takes to be in the big leagues. Well, evidently, for now, we are proving them wrong. Because, look, I am just an entrepreneur, if you will. I'm providing a product or a service that people like and want. Plain and simple. And, you know, I have to give acknowledgement to my PR agent, Laura, because without her, I would not have come this far so fast since relaunching my show. She has done amazing work on my behalf. And together, you know, we have built up a great working team, and we've been able to reach out, and others have reached back out to back at us. And so now I can absolutely announce the three networks that I will be syndicated on, and understand they're not the only three. They're just the first three that I can announce to you right now. There will be more coming up through the month of April that you'll get announcements from me about the additional networks that the show will be syndicated on. And it's an amazing thing. I'm just beside myself. I'm giddy. I'm happy. It just means that, you know, I'm doing something that people like, that people want. You know, this is a service that people want to consume, plain and simple. So, you know, all you liberals out there, all you naysayers, well, guess what? You were wrong. Plain and simple. And to announce right here, again, since there were technical difficulties in the last half hour, which will not be repeated next week because the whole broadcast system will be different. Because I will be on the CPR radio network. You may also know them as the Constitution Patriot Radio Network. And look, I've had many conversations with that group. Those are a great group of patriots. They are on fire. They have a huge following, a huge presence on Facebook. My voice is going to be heard by their listeners starting next week, which is going to expand the reach of this show exponentially. It's absolutely amazing. You'll also be able to hear me on the SHR Media Network. Starting next week, again, another network that has quite a large following. My message will be getting out there. And starting in May, the ZDM Network. And as I said, there are more networks coming. I can't tell you who they all are right now. I will be able to reveal some of them next week, probably, and more of them as details are fully ironed out and, you know, all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted over the month of April. Yeah, look, I know that there are some people out there that are saying, well, you know, Rod, they're just all digital. They're just all on the internet. And everybody knows that the internet can't compete with terrestrial radio. Well, let me tell you something. I will be syndicating with, have a presence on terrestrial radio. Yes, yours truly will most likely be heard on terrestrial and on digital radio. You can't get there if you don't have a service or a message that people don't want to hear. You can't get there if you suck. And evidently, I don't suck. And that's a good thing. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know that I'm just not talking to myself. And look, my own numbers here on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, have been steadily going up. So there are more and more people who are finding out about the show and tuning in and listening, even on a download or an archival basis. That's also a good thing. Not to mention, if I did suck, I wouldn't be able to tell you that I have sponsors coming on board. That's right. Sponsors. Now, I'm not going to list who they are because you'll just begin hearing their commercials when you continue listening to the program. I'm talking real commercials. I'm not talking about the parodies that I usually play. I'm talking about real sponsorship, real companies and groups and organizations, real sponsors of the program. Now, understand, any program that you listen to or watch, say on TV or YouTube, if there are people that are paying for an ad, they're sponsoring that particular program. And you know what? I got to tell you, I am always brutally honest with you. I always will be. This is definitely not all me. I mean, this really is a credit to the work, the tireless work of my agent. It's always nice. Look, Ronald Reagan was a great leader. Even the left has to admit that. Margaret Thatcher was a great leader. There's really nobody who really, they may not like her policies, have liked her policies, but they don't deny that she wasn't a great leader. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Margaret Thatcher was obviously a woman. And Americans loved Margaret Thatcher. Just keep that in mind as I get into the story about Hillary Clinton. Americans loved Margaret Thatcher. Americans loved Ronald Reagan. They were leaders. But as leaders, they fully understand it wasn't about them. They didn't care who got the credit as long as they met their goals. They didn't care who got the credit. They were more than willing to take the hits, too, for the failures. But they were leaders. They inspired others to do their best. They had a lot of people around them, working with them, working for them, in order for them to achieve what we perceive as their greatness. Look, I have been for a long time a one-man operation on everything. From production to promotion, you name it, it was just me. Occasionally, I had somebody before helping me with operating the switchboard and the soundboard, but that was infrequent. So I was pretty much a one-man operation. Now I have somebody on my side in my corner who's working with me that has just increased my effectiveness exponentially. That is what leaders do. They attract others who believe in their goal, and then they work with those in order to assist them in helping that leader achieve their goal. Now, I am in no way comparing myself as far as leadership skills and qualities to Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, but it is the principle that stands. It's the principle. These past 2 months have proven that principle accurate to a T. Plain and simple. And you know what happens a lot of times out of that is you end up with developing real, close, and true friendships as I have, working with others. And now we're reaching out and developing relationships and friendships with the people over at CPR and SHR and soon to be, you know, other places like ZDM and other places I cannot tell you about right now, but they're coming. Just know they are coming. They will be here. Or I should say, I will be there. And it's exciting. It's fun. I never expected it. But I'm glad it's here. And that we're succeeding and our message is getting out to more and more people, which I hope they will embrace, and I fully expect that they will, because I'm speaking the truth. Like last half hour, I was talking about Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is an awesome candidate. No, I'm not saying that I'm endorsing him at this particular point in time. What I am saying is that we need more conservative candidates like him. He has been attacking. He's coming. Look, he has come out swinging. And Ted Cruz has just taken a cannonball plunge into the environmental waters. That environmental plunge is causing the left, and especially the environmentalist wackos, to have conniptions. Because Ted Cruz is not only denying man-made climate change, he's using scientific fact to back his argument up, and the left hates it. They are just freaking out. Ted Cruz pretty much says that there hasn't been any global warming over the past 15 to 17 years. And he was touting that, look, I'm not just saying it. We've got scientific proof. We've got satellite imaging and satellite data up the wazoo that there has not been global warming. Over the last 15 years, this is a quote, over the last 15 years, there has been no recorded warming. Contrary to all the theorists that they are expounding, there should have been warming over the last 15 years, and it has not happened. He says, we have satellite data to prove it. There is no, I have been a denier, if you want to use that term, of global warming for decades. Ted Cruz even backed me up because he said, well, remember in the 60s and 70s, it was global cooling. And when there was no recorded cooling going on, they changed it to global warming. And people to this day still say that, no, Rod, you're not right. You're wrong on that, really. And I always direct them to the original Dr. Seuss cartoon, The Lorax. Yes, there is a Jim Carrey movie out there. But trust me, that's not the original. You can actually go to YouTube and get the full episode of the original that aired almost every year during the 70s after it was produced. And it was saying that global cooling was going to be the cause of what we were doing back then. You know, we were polluting, and cutting down forests and trees and rainforests and all that kind of stuff, and we were putting more and more pollutants up in the atmosphere, and as the temperature dropped, we're gonna burn more fossil fuels to keep warm, and that was just going to expound the problem until we went into another ice age. They kept telling us that. They kept telling us, but I remember in school, they told us that by a certain time, mid-80s, that we were going to be in another ice age if we didn't change what we were doing. But by the 80s, instead of that dire prediction coming true, they switched from global cooling and there being a man-made ice age to global warming. And then the left was thrown into a tizzy when Ben Affleck, of all people, did a movie. He did a movie. I remember the movie. It was at the moment the title of the movie. It escapes me because I saw it, wanted to forget it, and I guess I finally did. It was that terrible. But he was a scientist. He played a scientist that the world went into an ice age. And according to Ben Affleck's movie, it was due to global warming. You know, because the jet stream in the air and the jet stream in the oceans, they stopped. As if the Earth stopped spinning, those jet streams just stopped. And we had super cold cells coming down and freezing people almost instantly. It was so bad that the United States, and here's the beautiful part. It was so bad that the United States government had to beg the Mexican government to allow half of the United States population to move down into Mexico. And for the United States government to be able to move its capital temporarily into Mexico. Because 3/4 of the United States was covered in ice. That was the movie. And the left, they actually thought, I remember them actually talking about how off Ben Affleck, it was good that he did the movie so people's awareness was risen. But he was off because it wasn't going to be that we were going to freeze to death, but the planet was going to burn up. Crops are going to fail. We're going to have massive droughts all over the planet. We weren't going to have any drinkable water. There was going to be war, and half the population was going to die off. So they kind of chastised Ben Affleck for doing the movie about saying global. Hey, look, Ben, you know, that movie, that's so 70s. We've moved on to global warming now. Got to keep up, man. Got to keep up. And the very fact that the Americans are not really concerned about most environmental issues really has the left in a tizzy. They can't believe themselves. See, Gallup did a poll, and they do a poll every year about this, and Gallup is not a conservative polling group. They did a poll and showed that Americans aren't really all that concerned about environmental issues. But that's not what you think if you listen to the left. If you listen to the left, especially the environmentalist wackos, all according to them, all we care about is environmental issues. Well, here's the truth that the lamestream media, and I say lamestream media with an L, not Main Street or mainstream media as in Main Street, but lamestream media doesn't want you to know. Gallup, again, not a conservative-leaning polling group, has done this poll for years. And here's the skinny. Americans are not really concerned about certain environmental issues, including pollution of their drinking water. Now, in 2014, when Gallup did this poll, 60% of Americans were concerned about it. This year, 2015, that same poll found that only 55% of people were concerned about it. There was a drop. Now, according to the left, there was an exponential increase in the number of people really concerned about such an issue. It was a lie. Pollution of rivers, lakes, and reservoirs. In 2014, 53% of Americans were concerned about it in some fashion. Today, it's only 47%. Air pollution in 2014, 46% cared in some fashion. Today, 38%. Notice the decrease. Extinction of plant and animal species all around the planet. 41% cared about that in 2014, thought it was something that we really should focus on, and that was a problem. Today it's 36%. The loss of tropical rainforest. Again, 2014 it was 41% to today's 33%. And here's the kicker. Global warming or climate change, man-made climate change. We all hear the left tell us that it is such a huge issue, especially with Americans, that just about everybody agrees it's an issue, agrees it's a problem, and agrees we need to do something about it. Again, a lie. Global warming or climate change? According to the Gallup poll, who thought that this was of great importance, or they were concerned about it a great deal, 2014 was 34%. 2015, 32%. Notice that 32 is less than 34, even in new math. So you can't escape the truth. Both scientific, polling, and realistic. You just can't.
Come on down to the newest pub in Texas, Rednecks, where our beer kegs are always full. Don't ask what brand it is, because it all tastes like warm piss. So if you're celebrating a special occasion like marrying your sister, or being named Employee of the Month at Walmart, you're going to want to come celebrate with us at Rednecks Bar and Cantina. And remember, every Friday and Saturday, we have our famous tooth contest. Whoever has the most teeth wins a pair of John Deere mud flaps and a buttery corn on the cob. There's plenty of parking space to drive your house over to Rednecks and come on in and have a hell of a time. We're located right next to Big Al's truck stop, right across the street from the KKK headquarters.
Homos and minorities, not welcome.
In a world where beer is served warm and flat, there is only one hope for beer drinkers. The Wooden Tap Bar and Grill presents Perfect Tap, an epic invention that ensures your favorite draft beer tastes better here than it does anywhere else. Critics call Perfect Tap mesmerizing. This is the way draft beer is supposed to taste. If you drink just one beer this year, make sure it comes from Perfect Tap. Now pouring exclusively at all four Wooden Tap locations. Wooden Tap! Come as you are.
Ripper the Clown may be a cartoon character come to life, but do you trust him with your votes on November 4th? Ripper the Clown wants to be mayor, sheriff, comptroller, and senator of Ripper County, but in a recent debate, he admitted that he didn't even know what a comptroller was. And then he offered free gas cards and fast food gift certificates to anyone who voted for him. He also offered free autographed copies of his new award-winning zombie novel, The Life and Mimes, and Zombie Apocalypse of Ripper the Clown for those who cast votes in his favor. These are all violations of America's occasionally enforced voting laws. Do you want this inexperienced and sneaky clown with his finger on the button? Don't vote for Ripper the Clown. Paid for by people who hate Ripper the Clown. The people who hate Ripper the Clown are responsible for the content of this ad.
Let's talk about Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. What do you know? Did you know that he's a naval hero? He single-handedly fought the Battle of Trafalgar in the waiting pool at the community center, freeing us from French tyranny. Did you know that he's an adventurer? Fighting the elements, he climbed Mount Everest in the frozen food section of the local grocery store to prove that anyone can achieve their dreams. He's a humanitarian. He found another cure for smallpox when, on a rainy day, climbed his aluminum ladder to the power lines to rescue a stray sperm whale. An energy pioneer, he discovered an unyet-named natural resource when he chewed the gum from underneath all the tables at the local pizza joint. And did you know that the only salary he takes is a few pieces of string, peat moss, and the occasional crow feather? Naval hero, adventurer, humanitarian, energy pioneer, and philanthropic volunteer. That's Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rook Pillar, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, and Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith. On Tuesday, remember to punch number 7 and vote for Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith for Village Idiot. He's what this city needs to feel better in the eyes of the world.
Paid for by the friends of Bob Sweeney, Lambert, Bentonhausen, Kavanaugh, Rope Puller, Havisham, McDougal, Subway, Bentley, Kavanaugh, Buffalo, Nickel, Jones, Rosenberg, Radio Frequency, Smith.
Call him. Praise the Lord. Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
You're listening to The Rod Eckel Show.
The 646-649-0004. I am on a roll, and I'm not just talking about this show, but I'm talking about the show as a whole. Is moving on to the wonderful networks that I will begin my syndication career with over at CPR Network and SHR Network and ZDM Network, all previously announced. Can't wait to get rolling over there. You know, I always remember the Batman movies. Now, I'm going to talk the original Batman movie with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. And the part where Jack Nicholson as the Joker says pretty much, wait till they get a load of me. Well, wait till all of those new listeners get a load of me. Because it is going to be awesome. And I am glad that you are now going to be referred to as the inaugural or initial or original listeners, the founding listeners of this show. So you have a special place in my heart in broadcast history as being the first to know about me, which is a good thing, very good thing. 17 Republicans say no to House budget resolution. Yeah, believe it or not, there are 17, and this is a Newsmax story. 17 Republicans, both centrists and conservatives, joined every House Democrat last night in voting against the Republican House budget resolution. Now, the final vote was 229 in favor, 199 against, was reached after a complicated parliamentary procedure during which six different budgets were voted on in an attempt to make sure that both deficit and defense hawks felt heard. And this is according to the wondrous Politico. Now, when all was said and done, the House version cut spending by $5.5 trillion in budgets, balances the budget over 10 years and repeals Obamacare while revolutionizing Medicare and Medicaid, and overhauls the tax code. Now, there are no details about this budget, but as I have mentioned before, this balancing the budget over a 10-year period is a fallacy and a falsehood, and it's just not true. But the attempt is being made by the House to put something forth that is conservative, and they're attempting once again to try to get rid of Obamacare, which the vast majority of Americans want to sunset and go bye-bye. And, of course, you have everybody on the left saying, well, you know what? If you were to succeed in getting rid of Obamacare, what would all of those people currently on Obamacare do? Well, they would do the same thing that they did before government intervention. I love it when you hear these people say, well, you know, we've got 6 or 16 or 50 million people on Obamacare now. It proves a success. No, it doesn't. And the reason it doesn't is because you don't have a choice. You have to take it. You have to get it. If you don't, you will have the IRS knocking on your door. They will fine you and eventually imprison you because, you know, if you avoid paying IRS fines or taxes, you go to jail. Well, average people go to jail, but, you know, the powerful elite in the Democratic Party, they seem to somehow avoid jail time, like Al Sharpton. Now, what's the number that he's up to now that he owes? It's like, you know, $4 million he owes in back taxes. Timothy Geithner, who was our treasurer, Secretary of Treasury under Obama in his first term, also was a tax cheat. And a number of other Democratic leaders were tax absconded on paying their fair share of taxes. But the rest of us who are not the elite in the Democratic Party, well, you know, we get fined heavily and or we go to jail. So don't doubt me when I tell you that if you do not pay the fine for not having Obamacare, and if you do not get Obamacare and the IRS comes a-calling, they will fine you. And if you don't pay the fine, they will fine you some more and assess interest payments, penalties on that fine. And if you don't pay that, you will go to jail. That's the end game. It's the only resolution to this. Otherwise, how are you going to enforce the law? It has to, if you're breaking the law, it has to end with some sort of admittance by you that you broke the law, and you have to pay a penance. And that penance is either going to be a heavy fine or jail. That's what happens in this country when you break the law and you are prosecuted. You pay a fine and or you go to jail. That's what happens when you break the tax laws. You pay a fine and or you go to jail. So our jails are going to start filling up with people whose only crime is not getting a health insurance plan. So therefore, people don't want to be fined and they definitely don't want to go to jail. So they sign up for some sort of program under the Obama, the Affordable Care Act, and thus these idiots are able to tout this stupid number, which is not a real number. Look, don't doubt me. You're going to go to jail eventually if Obamacare stands. You can't doubt me. I'm not prophetic. I'm just able to understand the left. And when they create laws or rules or regulations, you have to abide by them or you get fined and or you go to jail. So you've got basically two choices. You have two choices. You can join up, get an Obamacare health plan, fall in line, or you can try to become an elite Democrat. Those are the only two ways that you're going to avoid fines, penalties, and possible jail time. Really. Otherwise, you know, if you stay a Republican or if you stay a conservative that believes in the Constitution and you decide that you're going to fight this unconstitutional mandate, you're going to go to jail. I don't mean to scare you, but that's the truth. They will jail you first. Plain and simple, unless we reverse this. There are some people there that are probably saying, well, they can try to come and take me. I'm going to take some people with me. I'm going to take some of those jackbooted thugs with me. They ain't taking me. No, they're not. I'm not going without a fight. I can just see it now. Some of those people, look, are they really going to go into like Appalachia? Remember coal miner's daughter, Loretta Lynn? Are they going to go into places like that and start forcing people to get health care? Because, you know, those are extremely independent people, and they have a lot of guns. So who is it going to be worth government going in there and trying to take, you know, some of them to jail? They don't want anything to do with government, usually. They're fiercely independent people. I don't blame them. You know, how about the blue people of Kentucky? You know those? You know, they actually have a blue tinge to their skin. Are they going to go to jail? Because I doubt that they'll sign up for Obamacare. How about the Hatfield and McCoys? You know them? How about all the militia people and the various militias in the various states? Look, is the government going to go to war with its own people? to try to get them to go to jail because they didn't buy health care insurance? Did anybody stop and really think about that? Well, I know the left didn't. Just inquiring mind want to know. Hillary Clinton, there is, stuff. Well, it's some people would say it's not Hillary, it's Hillary Clinton supporters. No, it's pretty much Hillary Clinton. I don't doubt that she's the one giving the marching orders. But you've probably heard already today about the list that was disseminated on Twitter and other social media outlets about the words that the media and others should not be using because they were just secret code for being a feminist, or not a feminist, being a sexist. That's right. You're not going to be able to say certain words because you will be construed as being a sexist. Now, I told you this after Obama was elected. I said when it's Hillary's turn and she decides that she wants to still be president, and if she runs, because we keep saying today that, you know, if you're against Obama's policies, you're actually a racist because you don't like him because he's half black, which is, you know, not the truth at all, but that's the narrative. So the narrative is going to be continued with Hillary, that if you vote against Hillary, if you do not vote for her, you will be construed as being a sexist. And sure enough, that is exactly what happened today. Her supporters came out today stating that if you use certain words and if you say certain phrases, that really means that you are a sexist. If you say things that are against Hillary and other women in power who are trying to be elected, you are a sexist. If you don't vote for Hillary, they're saying you are a sexist. They just said it today. And again, I sit back in my freedom throne and am proven right. I don't have to do much to prove that I'm right. All I have to do is just tell you what I actually know is the truth and just sit here in the freedom throne in my bunkerized home studio and wait for the left to prove it for me. There is no doubt about it. I don't have to do much. All I have to do is just tell you the truth, using logic and historical fact, and then just sit back and let the left prove me right. You know, there'll be people on the left say, "Well, you can't prove that you're right." And all my response is, "I don't have to because you will. You will prove me right. I don't have to prove I'm right." And they never let me down. They have never let me down. And in this case with Hillary, man, did they prove me so right that some people will probably think that I'm a clairvoyant, which I am not. There you go. So you're not going to be able to use certain words, certain phrases, or else you will be construed as being a sexist. So they're lining up, getting ready to attack the Republican field of candidates as being sexist. Because, you know, we know what they did with Romney. They took him out of context and misconstrued what he said about binders of women. No, that's not what he said. He said he had resumes of women in binders. Well, Romney's got binders of women. As if he's taken, you know, women or their pictures and put them in binders. That's not what he did, and that's not what he was talking about. He had a bunch of resumes that he put in a binder or different binders. You know, it's no different. It was his filing system. It's no different from an employer taking your resume that you send them and putting it in a file cabinet. Would it have been, if he would have said, well, you know, check the file cabinet for female candidates, qualified female candidates, they would have said, oh, Romney has file cabinets of women. But his file cabinet at the time happened to be binders, because he could carry them with him. hey, you're still going to be construed as a sexist. Don't doubt me. I don't know why people do doubt me. To this day, I'm just beside myself with wonderment about that. I don't know. There is a $600 million fracking company that just sued a tiny town in Ohio for its water. A town in eastern Ohio is being sued by an Oklahoma-based oil and gas company that bought more than 180 million gallons of water from the town last year. Last year, they bought almost 200 million gallons. That's a lot of water, folks. And this is a climate progress story, and it's a liberal web rag. Don't get me wrong, it is. But there is, look, when they're on the right track on something, the left, I will say it, because truth doesn't know left or right. The truth is that this company, without knowing what the town is going through, isn't really the ones at fault. You know, they made a contract with this town. And the town decided, well, you know what? Our water level is getting too low, so we're cutting off your water. Well, the company is saying, well, do you still have water? Well, yeah, says the town. Well, then you're obligated to let us have it under contract. And the town is saying, no, we're not going to let you have it. Look, the problem is not the oil and gas company, although they could be a little bit more compassionate with the problem. No doubt. But the problem is with all of these municipalities selling what they should not be selling, water rights. You know, it's something that people need. It's not selling, well, okay, well, we'll let you use our roads, and you know, if our roads fall apart, we'll have to fix them. But, we're contracting you, let you use certain roads. This is life we're talking about, and you have these stupid idiots who are on municipal councils and city councils and town councils who are selling the rights of something they should not be selling. And in actuality, really don't have the right to sell. So this small town in Ohio has found itself that, we're starting to run a little short of water and we need the water for our citizens. They never should have sold the water in the first place. Shouldn't have sold it. But you're not going to hear the left claim that the town fathers were at fault for selling. No, no, no. You're going to hear how evil and destructive and selfish the corporations are. Look, all a corporation did was do what any company would do. They approached them and said, hey, we want to buy some water from you. Let's have a contract. Town fathers could have said, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it, not at this juncture. But that's not what they said. They looked at the numbers and said, wow, look at all the money that we're going to get. And they signed on a dotted line. So was it really the company's fault that they're asking and demanding that this town live up to its agreement? I don't think so. But, of course, that is not in this liberal rag site story. Did you know that the FBI and the ATF spent $2.1 million on 23 drones that don't work? That's right. The FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Administration spent over $2 million tax dollars to garner and acquire 23 drones that don't work. And this is from a Department of Justice internal report. It also notes that the FBI only has two pilots to fly its current stock of 17 drones. So the FBI has 17 drones, but only two people who are qualified to actually fly them. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, even the best video gamer out there that plays, you know, flying games, they can't – there are two of them. They can't fly 17 modules or fly in 17 games at the same time. They just – they can't. It's not humanly possible. So we have spent all this money on all this technology, and we come to find out that, one, 23 of them don't work, and two, they have way more units than can possibly be flown because they don't have enough pilots. Now, I'm sure they're probably going to get a plethora of resumes of, you know, gamers out there who say that they can fly these drones, and maybe that's why the story was leaked, but because, you know, the government, they can't find qualified people on their own, so they need help. Well, I hope I'm able to help you. So all of you out there under the sound of my voice, if you are a good drone pilot and you do not have a significant criminal record, you know, felony, basically, then you should probably apply to the FBI to be a drone pilot because, you know, they have 17 drones and only two pilots, which means, you know, at best, if they can fly two at a time, you know, there's only four of them that are being utilized. So that means, you know, using current math, that there are 13 drones that are just sitting there. So you might be, which means if, you know, a pilot can fly two at a time, well, they're going to need, you know, at least six, probably seven pilots. So there's probably six or seven openings for the FBI. Just out there, you know, I'm just trying to help people find jobs in this poor economy. Just trying to help. Well, we're coming to the end, and unfortunately the end of not only this program, but of the entire week. And it thus ends my career to date as being a solo broadcaster. And solo by, I mean, just broadcasting all by myself on one network. What is happening next week is exciting for me, and it's going to be exciting for all the new listeners, is, of course, the syndication of the Rod Eccles Show. I will still be the same. I will still be the same Rod Eccles. I will still deliver the same truth, the same logic, but I'll be heard on more than just Blog Talk Radio. I'll be heard on more than just one network for the first time in this program's history. And it's an exciting time. I'm humbled by it. Fully live up to the expectations that I'm sure many people will have. And I will do my best to live up to those expectations. So until we meet again next week, when I am in full syndication, this is Rod Eccles. You have been listening to The Rod Eccles Show. And it is now time for me to go and do something else. Have a great weekend. I'm out.